Okay, we are in the Maimer HaRavi in Ois Gimel, which is one of the longest pieces. I think it goes in our print about 30 pages. I'm not sure we'll learn every bit of it, but right now we're up to the understandable part. So we're going to continue where we left off last time on page 14 in our print. Let's just review what we said and see how it continues. He was asked by the king to teach the names of Hashem. And so far he talked about Hashem and Elohim, or Elokeinu. He said that Elohim is the name for the logical God. The fact that logically, if a person ponders the universe, he'll say that there's a creator, there's Elohim, a Baal Kol HaKoyches, the source of everything. And therefore, the name Elohim is used for Avodah Zarah as well. Why is it used for Avodah Zarah? Because it refers to the God that people imagine when they think. They sit back and think, and they say the universe was created, so they come to the conclusion that there's a God. So the true God we call Elohim, Hashem Kadosh. And the other gods that people imagine, we call Elohim. And that's why it's clear that we said that's Elokeho, Elohim. How do you call God the God of gods? There are no other gods equal to him. But in the word Elohim, it's shayach such a thing, that there are other gods that were imagined based on what he called raya saruchnias, spiritual rayas or proofs. No spiritual proof points to this God as opposed to other gods, just points to the fact that there is a God. And that's Elohim. Hashem, he said, is the Shem HaEtzem. It's the personal name of Hashem, which is known through HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself to his Nevi'im, to Adam Rishon, recognized him, and Cain, to others who had contact with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and that's where the name Hashem comes. And that's how he defined Hashem Elohim, and as we said last time, that's the depth of the meaning, Hashem Hu Elohim, God is God. Well, God is God, of course, a table is a table, and a God is God. But it means Hashem, the Shem Havaya, Hu Elohim, he is the God. So that was the way the Kuzari, the cover here in the Sefer HaKuzari teached Hashem Hu Elohim. He expands on it, but first he says that on page 14 where we left off, he refers to other uses of Hashem's name. V'yesha karu Hashem, fifth line. Some call them Hashem. Yesha karuhu ha'arayin. For example, some refer to the Arayin, which is the basis, the resting place, that is, the, we call it, of the Shechina, also Hashem. K'ma yisha ha'yoyimim, kuma Hashem l'mnuchasecha. Vashuva Hashem, b'neicha. V'alo elekim b'srua, Hashem b'kal shayfer. Hema yoraitzim aran Hashem. They mean to say aran Hashem. Kuma Hashem, Hashem stand up. God doesn't stand up. And Shuvah Hashem, Hashem doesn't rest. And normally, we answer this differently. He's answering that Hashem there refers to the Aron. Mm-hmm. That's referring Shuvah Hashem to the resting of the Aron, or Kuma Hashem, etc. Olo Elokim Bisrua, Hashem Bekal Shaifer. He says it refers to the Aron, interesting. The Aron moved when the Shaifer blew. Some refer to the connection of Klal Yisrael and Hashem, the Tziruf of Hashem and the Jews. When we say the enemies of God, we mean the enemies of the Jewish people. Well, the enemies of Ratzim, Shem Hashem, I Bris Hashem, I Teres Hashem. When they say any of these expressions, Ki Ein Tziruf Beinai or Bein Uma Mehu Uma Yisakum, because there's no similar connection between Hashem and the other nations of the world. Mm-hmm. Hashem rests his light on Klal Yisrael, and Hashem takes the title Elokei Yisrael. There's Elokei Ha'amim, Elokei Ha'amim, Elokei Yisrael, Nikrim Heim, Am Hashem, Am Elokei Avram. We're called Am Hashem, we're not called Am Elokim. Every nation that believes in a creator has some God, and therefore the difference in the names. Now here, this gives us a new insight into a number of Divrei Chazal, for example. First of all, the fact that the Shem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is called the Shem HaMiyuchad, as opposed to Lakim. Why is it more the Shem HaMiyuchad? Because that's the whole definition. The Shem HaMiyuchad means the God who revealed himself to the Nevi'im, to the Avais, the Shem HaMiyuchad. Now what he's saying is, what he has said is, that the name Hashem is only recognizable through contact, through Nevuah. A Torah is only through contact. If you don't contact, you have contact with the Rabbani Shalom, you don't have Torah. That explains the Rashi that says that the nations of the world said, how could you have Nevuah only to Jewish Nevi'im and not to non-Jewish Nevi'im? If a non-Jew ponders the world and says there had to be a creator, so how is he supposed to recognize who the creator is? So the Fevar Rashi says that they had to be, during the Tekufas HaNevuah, they had to be Nevuah to Rumas HaElam. It's understood that way as well. Here's one tricky thing. I'm not sure how the Siddur has it. When you say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaElam, is there a pause between Hashem and Elokeinu? Is it Baruch Ato Hashem, blessed are you God, comma, Elokeinu Melech HaElam, our God, the God of the world? Or is it Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu? That doesn't answer the question.
What?
Say Baruch Baruch Shemai. Oh, you mean there's a pause? They say it's interesting that by Hashem we say Baruch Baruch Shemai, and by Elokeinu we don't say it, or by Elokai we don't say it. That fits beautifully with what he's saying.
Why?
Because, like he's saying, the word Elokim doesn't identify God. Elokim is the thing that that comes Marayas Ruchni is the identification of Hashem. The Shema Etzem is that.
I'm saying the Baruch Ato Hashem, to understand what Baruch means.
Yeah, that's
right.
The source of Bracha.
So that you could say Hashem himself is the...
Is he called Hashem Elokeinu? Is that his name?
Shema is Hashem Elokeinu.
Shema Yisrael? What's the trap there? There's no Asnach, there's an Asnach then Elokeinu? No, it's not snachta, but it goes together. It seems, you see, but there's a psik between them. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu is Mercha Tipcha, which indicates they go together. Yet there's a psik between Hashem and Elokeinu. There's a half psik between Hashem and Elokeinu. This was one of the original machlokes when the Siddurim were first printed, back in the 1600s. This was one of the big controversies, whether to do Hashem Elokeinu. Rav Zalman Hena, of course, was involved. Rav Zalman Hena held that they must be read together. And it's printed B'Shem HaGro. I think the Gro and one of the Purushim, maybe on Sefer Tznius, that the Gro said that you shouldn't be mafsik between Hashem Elokeinu. Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu. The Siddur that had come out previously, that Rav Zalman Hena fought with, what was it, the... Rabbi Yaakov Emin came out much later. The two brothers, they put out the first Siddur. What happened is, in the mid-1600s, there were two brothers in Vilna that were going to put out the first Siddur that was the final Siddur, you know, the printing press that had been invented a century earlier. And there were different Siddurim. And when there were no printing press, you stop printing, you end up with many different vowelizations of the words. And many different... So they were going to put out the final authority. They put a printed a Sefer. And they had askamas from the Gedolei generation. Rabbi Zalman Hena then was about 20 years old. He was a genius. So he put out two things. First, he put out a Sefer catching the mistakes. His first Sefer caught 120 mistakes. And then he put out a Siddur-based filler. I think he ended up with about 300 mistakes. And that first... Now, not all of us would consider... It a mistake if a lot of the things that he did, but nevertheless, it was a tremendous controversy. I mean, they fought over it. Till today, in Uvo Letzion, you have different sidurim that have umetaltani ruach or utolasni ruach. That was one of the big fights they had.
Well,
what do you mean? Mati, if I call you cats or cots, what's an afghamina? What? We'll call you Mati cots. You like it?
No,
it's cats. That's the correct word. No, what?
Sometimes let's say Hashem Elokeinu. If you put it as one, so it means Hashem Elokeinu.
Yeah,
put it
you're
as
right.
There's an afghamina.
You're right. Not most things didn't have much of it. I mean, they had an afghamina because if it's not a word, then it has no meaning.
Hashem Elokeinu,
Sha'ais. The early Siddur had Sha'ais instead of Sha'ais. It's a fight of Sha'ais or Sha'ais. There was a disagreement. There were many, many such words that there were disagreements over the, over the vowelization. Tlasi and Totani was especially interesting because the, Reb Zalman Henin met Reb Yaakov Emden once. Reb Yaakov Emden was in Amsterdam, and Reb Zalman Henin met with him, and Reb Yaakov Emden didn't want to meet him. Reb Zalman Henin cornered him and met with him, and here they were going to talk about earth-shattering things, and the whole meeting broke down into a disagreement. It was Unu Taltani, Unu Talasni. The whole thing became that disagreement. So what's interesting is that till today, this tremendous controversy, till today, over Rav Zalman Henin. Rav Yaakov Emden's descendants put out the new Rav Yaakov Emden Siddur, I think it's a blue, beautiful binding. And they put out a companion sefer. If you could find it, you should grab it. It's never going to be reprinted. Not likely, because there are very few people interested in it. In it, they have Rav Zalman Henin's Ha'aris, Rav Yaakov Emden's answers, and the whole, the back and forth controversy. Now, the ones who printed Rav Yaakov Emden's descendants, so they defend him, and they bashegets Rav Zalman Henin very, very badly. But there were others who held of him. The Prima Gadim, printed in the Prima Gadim and Arachayim are some letters that he wrote to Binyamin Melamed Tinaikis. We don't know who this Binyamin is, but he writes to Binyamin Melamed Tinaikis, when you start teaching your children, you should take out Rav Zalman Henin's sefer and teach them how to read. That's what he writes. Wow. And then Yehuda calls him Hamadagde Kagodl. That was apparently his nickname. So he wrote in very strong terms that you should say Hashem Elokeinu without a hefsek. And it seems to fit with the Kuzari. Because what is it? What is Elokeinu? It's not, it's our God. The word Elokeinu could be Kodesh and could be Chayil. If you just say Elokim Elokeinu, it could be understood both ways. Hashem Elokeinu means that the Umis Ha'ilam, today, there are atheists in the world. Humanity, for the history of humanity, the atheism is a drop in the bucket for the number of human beings that existed. The humanity believed in God or gods. They just identified God differently. So Hashem Elokeinu means the Hashem who is our God. It was our God. Now we could use that as Kodesh. I don't know. I don't know. I know the Sefer. There was an article in the Oral Yisrael Journal. I think it was Lamed Dalet or so. In the Oral Yisrael Journal, there was an article on a few of these things. This was one of them. They quoted Rav Zalman Henin, the Gra, and they quoted the Sefer, the Siddur.
Who was
Mechaler? No, the Rav Zalman Henin came to argue on the earliest Siddur, which had a psik between them.
Like the
Vilgan said like Rav Zalman Henin. They were Chayokim from the Medagdikin. They're not common names, so it escapes me at the moment. Why is there a psik between Hashem and Elokeinu?
I understand that, but I understand Hashem. Elokeinu, otherwise Hashem doesn't stand up. It's Shema Yisrael Hashem.
Well, Rashi teaches Hashem, who is Elokeinu, will be the Hashem, who Echad will be over the whole nation.
But invite Hashem again. But by the brachas, certainly by the Shemon Esrei, you never hear someone, I heard many, many... You
never say Hashem Elokeinu.
No one ever says Hashem Elokeinu. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu.
You should
write them together.
You say the psik might be there for the pronunciation. I'll bring you Rabbi Yaakov Emden's quote.
Because it's different.
Why? You're saying a very good thing.
Maybe it's because the Baruch Hu Bar Shema is.
The Baruch Hu Bar Shema is thus separated.
You know something? The nigin that we say for the Baruch Ant Kiyah Shaifa. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. There's no hefsek. There's no pause. Baruch. All the Ashkenazi shuls do that. Baruch. Pause. Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Right? We always say it that way. It doesn't prove anything, but you're saying that you never heard it. You heard it.
You're not making an Afghan be there for the moment. Brach is what she might have said. You're not making an Afghan be there.
What? Elokeinu is one, and Elokeinu
is two. I think it makes sense both ways, but you translate it differently. We say, blessed are you Hashem, our God, the King of the world.
That's how they
translate. Does Melech go in Elokeinu? Does Melech go in Hashem? You say, Baruch Atah Hashem, comma, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, our God, the King of the world. Or, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. It's like a first name and a second name. It's read as a first name and a second name.
Differently in Shema, differently in the Baruch, I mean, Shema could be
the same thing.
Well, Rashi teaches Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Shehu Elokeinu.
Hashem. It's connected.
Right? Hashem, yeah. Hashem refer, if it's a personal title, then Hashem can only be us. So when we say Baruch Atah, it has to be Hashem, because Elokeinu could be for anybody. Right?
That's true. So there's no question referring to Hashem. Yeah, that's 100%. That's no question. The Hayayidiyah comes before the name Elokim, never comes before the name Havaya. You can't. You could have Ha Bayis, Ha Shulchan, Ho Elokim. You can have the of something that could be many. You'll never find the Hayayidiyah before Hashem. Ha Hashem? What do you mean?
Right. Yeah.
Make any sense? Now, even there, it's Hal and Hashem is two words, but okay. There, it's not a Hayatema, it's not a Hayatema.
Hayatema, right.
Okay, he says, V'amar shiktsasu umayshalchu akra, v'avdu oisai, meshimavi kabbalah. There were those who followed the Rabbi Nishalayim from what they heard and what they accepted. The saying is, when nations of the world claim to recognize a god, if it's not a personal god, then it goes back and forth. It can change, because it's a product of the person's imagination.
What did Hashem say when he heard about, did he say Hashem or Elokim?
Hashem
or Elokim?
Apparently he recognized the Rabbi Nishalam. Apparently the God that we recognize.
He didn't have a personal relationship.
It's true. It's a Pella how Avraham Avinu came to it. Avraham Avinu didn't have Nevuah until he was 70 years old. He recognized Hashem earlier. That's the greatness.
And we said Avraham recognized him from Sichlius.
The greatness of the uniqueness of the Avais is that they came to Akar of the Rabbi Nishalom. None of the Avais had Nevuah until they were old people. Avram didn't have Nevuah.
We got the Messiah. It's only Avram is the Chiddush.
Okay, Avram is the Chiddush.
And remember, they already saw Hashem.
Yitzchak is the Chiddush. Because there were others who recognized the Kaddish Baruch too. Chanoich recognized the Kaddish Baruch too, but his children didn't follow.
He understood Hashem. He understood them.
Okay. And then he talks about the Yichud Hashem to Klal Yisrael. It's what he goes on with. Now he digresses here for a little bit. He mentions Ekasha Ekeh, which on page 17 in our print. He mentions a few side topics. He brings the Machlaikas. I mentioned last time, it's the Machlaikas of Ekasha Ekeh as a Shem Hashem. He also mentions the Kabbalistic idea of Aleph Hey Vav Yud being unique letters connected to Shem Hashem, and that the fact that all vowelizations come from them. But this is a digression. As I said, this continues for about 35 pages. We're going to go next time to page 23, which goes to Chayzelinyan Hashemais. He goes to the Shem Adnus Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, because we talked about the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Next time we're going to come to the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud to see how that fits in. If you have Elokim being the general name for a logical God, and Havaya for the Shem HaMiyuchad of Hashem, so what's left for the Shem Adnus? So that will continue with, I hope, next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday.